Hello, everyone. This is the Final Play Podcast, where this week we're talking about the opening week of the 2019-2020 NBA season and everything related to NBA.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, well, firstly, talking about with the NBA, the opening night, the first two games were great games. I guess the games that everyone was talking about. Starting on the Lakers and the Clippers, they was a good game, obviously at Staples Center. So I don't know who was home. The Clippers were home, I think.
I think it was Clippers home game.
Yeah, it's hard to determine, but yeah, sorry, it was a Clippers home game.
Yeah.
The Clippers getting up 112 to 102. Did you catch any of that game?
I caught bits and pieces of the end of it. Yeah, look, it looked like it was a fairly entertaining game. Like it got all the way down into the fourth quarter, but Kawhi didn't really have a huge game. I think he only had like 25 points or something like that. But it was I think it was more the fact that the Lake Show's back in town and they're showing off all the new toys that they signed this year. So, especially. Yeah, with the Clips as well, you know. Obviously, they've got the two big signings from the off season as well. But one of them's not quite ready, healthy right now. So probably a little bit of a not so much of a surprise, but it was a competitive game, and it's going to be entertainment plus for 82 games of the regular season in the Staples Center this upcoming season,
until the Clippers move eventually, which I think their owner is looking the next 2 to 3 years.
I think I think it's like a 3-year plan. I think they're moving. Yeah. I think they're moving. Is it going to be around the same area as the football stadium?
Yeah, that's what I heard for the close to the Rams Stadium. That's what I've heard.
Well, that'll be a shared stadium for the Rams and the Chargers.
Yeah,
but I think they're building it out there as well. I think it's I don't know. I think it might even be out in Inglewood somewhere, because that's where the old Greater Western Forum used to be back in the day. Compton, Long Beach,
Inglewood.
Where the old Greater Western Forum used to be, where the Lakers used to play before they built the Staples Center. So. But yeah, it's all supposed to be brand spanking new precinct for the NFL, obviously for the Clippers and Steve Ballmer are looking at moving out there, so they'll have their own arena.
The biggest thing I took away from that game, obviously, I'm a huge Lakers fan. Well, it's not obvious. I'm telling everyone I'm a huge Lakers fan. but the 1-2 punch, obviously, with Davis and James seems to be clicking pretty quickly. But more the Clippers, they, exciting team to watch, but I guess the thing I liked about the Clippers is their bench easily. And I mean, easily, they all got double figures off the bench and they all outscored except for Kawhi Leonard, the starting five. So, I mean, that's like you said, it was out without PG too. So if their depth, on their bench, like, Green got 12, Montez Harrell got 17, Lou Williams did what Lou Williams does, it gets 21, Harkless got 10, so they, their depth on their benches, very, very good and very, very scary. So that was probably the biggest thing that Kawhi had back up, so to speak.
Plus, they should be a fairly solid defensive team as well. Once PG comes back, he's a pretty good defender. We all know Kawhi is a really good defender, and Pat Beverley as well. So they're gonna throw Pat Beverley at whoever their best guard is.
Yeah.
And even though he got fouled out the other day against Phoenix in the Clippers' second game, which they actually lost in Phoenix, and Devin Booker took him to school. And they were jawing at it the whole game. And when Patrick Beverley got fouled out,
Patrick Beverley loves it too. Love it.
Oh, he loves it. He loves it.
Last year against Durant, he walked it up. It was awesome.
He's a terrier. Yeah, he absolutely loves it. He wouldn't have cared that he got fouled out. He wouldn't have cared.
No, definitely not. And with the other game, obviously the reason they probably put the Pelicans on the opening game was for the one man that everyone wanted to see but wasn't there, Zion Williamson. But it was the same sort of thing what I thought about the Clippers. Yes, the Raptors got up 130 to 122. I just liked that. We'll start with the Pelicans. I really like you've got Zion come back, but the same thing. It mightn't be the biggest depth in the world. And when we're talking, they all have star players like your PG and also like your Kawhi Leonard, but they have depth.
They have depth at every position.
They have depth at every single position.
The only problem is with the Pels, and I'll just keep sort of, seeing the praises there because, obviously I'm a Pelicans fan, but not obviously, but I'm just telling everybody.
Yeah, okay, so the whole year, I'm like, it's these Pelicans.
But I just want to see how they are by the time Zion comes back, chemistry-wise. You know, they've turned over to two-thirds of their roster. So that's going to be something for Alvin Gentry to sort out, and he's trying to play 8, 9, 10 players each game, which he's, there's going to be certain times where he's not going to be able to do that.
Yep.
Brandon Ingram has been the shining light so far. Like, BI's been he's been excellent, and a lot of the offense has been focused through them. Yeah. Through him. We just have to wait until Zion comes back. And I think, and I said in our NBA preview last week that pencil it in that Zion's first game will be Christmas Day against that's when I reckon he'll be back. So there'll be the maximum amount of eyeballs on it, and that's about 2 months. So that'll be the full eight weeks, I guess.
And then obviously his first game, like I said, the biggest eyeballs. I think it's 5 games back to back on what, like, ESPN, sure, yeah, five live. Games,
and I think that's the last. I think that's the last game too. I think that's the nightcap.
Yeah, the great thing for us, it's Boxing Day, so I usually do nothing but watch NBA. So
well, yeah, I get home on Boxing Day, so I'll be watching. The thing is, they start super early in the morning, so
5 games back to back.
I should be able to catch a few of the afternoon games and that. That last game, I'm pretty sure the last game is Denver and New Orleans. So hopefully we'll be able to catch that. But I'm going to just say, New Orleans are 0-4 this week. Mm-hmm. And have got the worst points per game average so far this year at 128.4, which is horrendous. And it's only 4 games, but that's your typical Alvin Gentry type team. Offense, no defense. So they always say about Mike D'Antoni, you take the D out of it, so he's Mike D'Antoni because, he never coaches any defense. And Alvin Gentry is essentially the same. Like, he's, that defensively they'll pretty bad last year too. I think they were bottom 5 or 6 defensively, but they knew how to score. Yeah. So, and that'll be the same again. Drew Holiday sort of hasn't been in terrific form to sort of start, and he's got knee and ankle problems. He's hurt at the moment. So, that's sort of the linchpin from last year. Yeah. So everybody else on that starting five is all different.
Yeah, correct. That's what I was going to say. Also with Zion, just to touch on that, was that Drew was a massive focal point of that team last year, and still is. He is their captain. He is their leader.
Yeah, for sure.
But again, we're only talking 4 games, and I do like how you said that they are an offensive frenzied team, so to speak, and that's where it'll change when Zion comes back, because he's a guy that, well, obviously offensive frenzied, but he likes to run, run and gun, I guess, like run the floor really quick. So,
well, that's what I mean. That's what they're playing. They're playing Lonzo at the point, and even in the first two games against Toronto and against Dallas, Drew was playing the two a fair bit to start with, and then they brought JJ Redick off the bench. So it's just going to be a matter of how quickly they can gel, how Lonzo and Drew Holiday, Josh Hart playing excellent this year to start off with, how those sort of playmakers and guys that are going to have the ball in their hand a lot, how they can impact the game and get everybody involved, because I'm pretty sure as well they're top. When I last seen it, that they were top of the league in assists per game. So they're sharing the ball around. So that's a good thing. They just need to get a little bit sharper defensively. And they shouldn't be too bad, because they got popped in the mouth today by the Golden State Warriors. So that was a little disappointing to see that. But we won't go sort of too far into Pelicans without Zion Williamson. So
To finish on that opening game, the other thing I took away that is with the Raptors, it is Pascal Siakam's team after that display. There's no doubt about it. He, had a massive game, 24 points, 9 boards. I wasn't completely sold on the guy, to be completely honest. Like, as when they threw, I think it was a 4-year, over $100 million deal.
It was a pretty big deal.
But after watching him in that game fully, he's only 25, so he's still young. I mean, he's probably in that prime sort of, or coming into his prime. I'm all in. I'm not all in on Pascal Siakam. I think he's a great player, but he's definitely their leader like that. And he stood up too. Like,
he's gonna be sort of the next Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't think he's not as tall, but he's definitely he's got the length, and you've seen progression from Antetokounmpo, from his rookie year all the way up until now. So, and he looks like he's doing that to Siakam. So it'll be interesting to see how he progresses throughout the year and how far him and Kyle Lowry can take, and Fred Van Vliet. He's coming up awesome this year. So, how they can sort of make that progression in a fairly sort of congested Eastern Conference.
So what did you think of the other opening games during the week?
The opening game that they had, that the Brooklyn Nets had against Minnesota, looked like it was pretty exciting. Kyrie obviously opening up his account with 50 points, which is like, I think it was the most by a new player in their home opener in NBA history. So he had 58, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. So that was pretty great.
Which is a classic Kyrie, like every team he's gone.
Exactly. They ended up that game. Ended up going into overtime. That was a fairly, fairly exciting game against the Timberwolves, and even Minnesota are looking, good to start the season off as well. So, they've obviously started off the year 3-0. But Karl Anthony Towns is looking like a beast. Andrew Wiggins is starting the season off well. We'll see how this little book plays out.
That's the thing, I guess, with the Timberwolves is a lot of people don't think, and Robert Covington has been playing well for them as Covington, well.
Yeah, Covington, yeah, got traded there last year.
But a lot of people don't realize, I guess when I sort of look back with it, it's funny, you think of Towns and Wigan, and it's probably because we don't talk about the Timberwolves that much. Like, a lot of people don't really talk about the Timberwolves that much. But Wiggins and Towns, they're only 24 and 23.
That's right.
Every time I think of Wiggins and Towns, or probably more Wiggins, I feel like he's been in the league for, I thought he was like nearly 28 or so. I feel like he's been in the league for long.
He had that 1 year in Kansas with the Jayhawks, and then he was the consensus number one pick in that 2014 draft.
Cleveland.
Drafted by Cleveland and then traded straight over to to Minnesota for Kevin Love,
mm.
Who's actually started off the year quite well. Just on a little bit of a side note, K-Love is he's rebounding like a machine
playing
at the
for
moment.
That contract, so, playing for that contract.
That's right, yeah, contract year. So he's
trying to, well, it's extension year for him. So like, he probably doesn't want to get traded anyway. But yeah, with the Timberwolves, like you're saying, I mean, I'm not completely sold on them yet. Like, yes, they're 3-0. I think their over and unders, I was looking at everyone's over and unders, and I think their over and under was 24.5. So they're pretty much like an eighth on the way already for that. But
give it another couple of weeks, and those for and against, and the, you know, the points for and points against will gradually start to even up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to sort of buy into them at the moment. They are looking good. I think Covington did help with that team because they really didn't have anything else. But they are starting the season a lot better than a lot of people predicted, especially Kendrick Perkins. I was noticing on ESPN where did you see that where he
I did see that where he's having a little bit of a bit of a back and forth with the Timberwolves organization
and Kat as well. And he said there was something about an aircon, like he's saying, like, Kendrick basically said, like, you know, don't buy into the Wolves. Like, I'll just have my aircon and fan going, and I won't even hear anything about it. And then, there was a back and forth. And I think the Timberwolves organization tweeted back, like, yeah, I hope your fans are going well and everything like that, because it's 3-0. And he goes, yeah, no, they're doing fine. And then Kat comes back and says, I hope your aircon's broke.
Yeah.
I'm not fully buying into them yet. It's only 1 week, but they're exceeding expectations.
That's right. It's the opening week. You know, they've done well to sort of, you know, rack up those couple of wins. Karl Anthony Towns playing as well as what he is. And, you know, Andrew Wiggins actually, you know, sort of living up to a little bit of the hype, but we'll just, you know, we've read that book a couple of years in a row now with Andrew Wiggins tails off. Oh, I do. Yeah.
He's wins about that. He's not in the top 100 best players, and he's had a massive wins about that. Oh no, I'm definitely top 100 players in the NBA. I hope that spurs him to become a massively good player. Cause he is, I always thought he was, he should be an all-star player, but yeah, no, that's clearly not happening.
He's got the skill set.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's got the skill set. And I think I can't remember if it was last year or the year before. Might have been last year. Like about a quarter of the way, nearly a third of the way through the season, he was leading the league in three-point percentage. And then all of a sudden he just tailed off. And, you know, obviously the Timberwolves missed the playoffs last year. So it was a bit of a, we just got to wait and see how we can sort of piece together a full season.
Did you catch any of the Dallas Mavericks games in the first week?
Obviously I caught the Mavericks and Pels, the Pels home opener.
Obviously.
Sorry. That was quite disappointing to say the least, but
yeah,
man, the KP and
yeah.
And Luka Doncic look like they are going to be a scary, scary bunch.
They're both
scary. Oof. Like I said in the NBA preview at the start, you know, this the couple last week, everybody's forgotten about Porzingis, and oh man, is he. You know, like you said, he's not called the unicorn for nothing. He's a unique dude, and if he stays healthy, holy mackerel, they are going to be one. That's a heavy 1-2 punch.
They probably don't have enough supporting cast. Like I think we both sort of said they may move into the eight right at the end, or at least probably try to get that eight spot.
They'll be there or thereabouts. The only thing that I sort of took from that game was I thought Doncic fell in love at that step back 3-point shot.
He took a lot of those and it's
not a high percentage shot.
Nah,
like even, not. Even for James Harden, the way he was sort of shooting him last year, it's just not a high percentage shot.
Yeah.
And if that's the way that you've got to get open, then, you know, he's got good handles as well. you know, for a big dude.
Really good handy.
So it's sort of a little bit strange why somebody that size, and when he's coming up against, you know, your regular size guards who are going to be, you know, maybe 6'5 or 6'6, like he's 6'7, 6'8. So he's got the height advantage on him anyway. He just doesn't need to fall in love with that step back three. It's just, it's such an inefficient shot. And he got a triple double. He got like 25, 10 and 10.
Yeah, he did. The thing I took out of that, or just probably the starting week of the Mavericks, is just that 1-2 punch. I out of all the duos that I've seen in the opening week, I mean, and we can't really compare, I guess, Clippers until PG comes back, but man, they feel like they've gelled really quickly. Out of all the 1-2 punches out there, the duos, as everyone's calling them, I suppose, but of every team, they've impressed me real quick, Porzingis and Doncic.
With the newly made duos, I guess, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the
day. Lillard and CJ McCollum, you know, they've been together for a while. But, yeah, the newly minted
duos,
you know, like LeBron and AD, and like you said, with Kawhi and PG and those guys. Yeah, those guys, you know, Russ and James Harden.
Yeah.
Who's just been, boy, he's been raining down the triples this year and just not hitting very many at all. He's like 6 for 40 in his first three games. So they're playing a super fast paced style of game, which is what, you know, that's definitely different than what they did last year. They run and gun for a little bit last year, but it was either feast or famine. It was run and gun, or it was James Harden's going to bounce the ball, bounce the air out of the ball. And, you know, either get to the rack or take a step back three.
And but I mean, like, you're right. It's, Harden's, I don't know. I think you're right in the fact that's just a classic Russell Westbrook game. Russell Westbrook is a run and gun. He's high octane.
He's just full speed ahead. It's crazy.
He's full speed ahead. Like, there's no. I wouldn't say second gear. I think he's just one gear, and that's like fifth gear. I don't know.
He
goes
crazy
from one to fifth in about 2 seconds.
Just the explosiveness that he plays with, and you're just like, man, like it was insane. Like, yeah, just his any speed as well. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. I think they'll gel. I think they've got, you know, a decent sort of five. Poor Capella's now rebound percentage has gone well down.
That's going to go down through the floor now.
But Harden's still getting the points, like you were saying. It's probably the three pointers that everyone sort of knew him for. I don't know if he's just in the funk. You can't really blame Westbrook on that because.
Oh no, no, not there, at all.
But I don't. You're right. I mean, 2 out of 18 when they play the Pelicans, like, that's just unforgivable.
That's ridiculous to be taking 18 triples when he was getting to the rack so easy.
Yeah.
Like, so easy against the Pels, and to be resorting for these threes that he's just not hitting. Like, I get a shooter's mentality that the next one's going to go down, but holy moly, he just kept raining them, like 2 for 18. Like, that is near unforgivable. Lucky they won that game. They only won that game by like 2 or 3 points. I think they won by 3. I think it was like 126, 123. PJ Tucker made some good threes. Eric Gordon is playing super off the bench. They're going to play a different style, I think, this year, which might be, you know, hopefully that sort of, especially now where they got Russ there, they can near afford to rest Harden and give him some breaks throughout the year, so he's not so gassed at the end of the season. Remember last year they started 0-4 and 1-6, and they had no choice but to just ride Harden into the ground.
That's actually not a bad idea. Now you say it, now I hear it, and if Westbrook. I mean, all they got to do is make the 8, or at least try to make the top 4 for home advantage. But it's actually not a bad idea, because he couldn't rest last year.
Give him some rest. He's gassed at the end of the season, because, unfortunately, as much as I love CP3, that they just they couldn't rely on him to stay healthy at the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. Yeah, that's probably not a bad idea. Like, they're not doing too bad, I mean, so far. Like, it is opening week, but they're 2-1. Like, you know, they should still be in the top eight, but that's probably not – I mean, if – I think someone sort of brought it up on ESPN that I think this is Westbrook's, like, last Westbrook. So it's probably – well, probably both of them, Harden, but I think it's that the 1 or 2 years – is the only chance I think they're going to have of winning a championship. And if they don't, I think that's it.
Oh, yeah, that's possible.
Especially for James Harden, at least, anyway.
Yeah. And once they start getting, you know, players like Gerald Green back and, you know, guys like that, see, that Eric Gordon can come in and start if they want to rest Harden. And they're obviously not going to rest both of them at the same time. Yeah. Unless they're hurt, but you know, it's got to come down to load management. And unfortunately, as much as James Harden will want to play as much as possible, that D'Antoni's going to have to save James Harden from James Harden. He's just going to have to say, look, we're going to rest you in this, you know, second of a back to back, or, you know, 3 games in 4 days type thing, just to give him a little bit more bounce in the legs at the end of the season. You know, even if he plays 75 games this year, and just give him a little bit of rest, because the last 3 or 4 years, it's been painfully obvious that he cannot carry them throughout the postseason.
No, definitely not.
He just runs out of gas, and it's nothing on him. It doesn't say anything about his motor or anything like that. You know that he's got a big heart. You know he wants to do as much as humanly possible for this team, but you have to save him from himself. To just see that, yeah, to just let them get the wins. And like I said, you know, they started off really poorly last year and they had to ride. And that's, you know, I think that was half the reason why Harden had that ridiculous season of, what was it, 36 points a game, because they had no choice.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they didn't. And that's the problem. Like, it was all played through Harden, so it probably wasn't a choice. But now Westbrook's there, might come up trumps. A couple of the teams that are still undefeated, I was going to touch on the 76ers. Probably no surprises there. They're 3-0.
No, not really. They had a bit of a tough time of it today. But yeah, they got the W. They got the W this morning. So yeah. I think it was Embiid with a couple of free throws to sort of ice the game. No real surprise.
Yeah.
You know, Ben Simmons is playing well. You know, Embiid's a monster, as he always is.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, the Nuggets are 3-0, which that's probably no surprise either.
The Spurs one I was going to touch
the
on.
The Spurs at 3-0 is for me a bit of a surprise.
It's not a shock, I guess, because and with not just me and you, I think everybody undersells the Spurs all the time, because, you know, once the top three, the big three left in Tim Duncan, with Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker, you know, no one really talked about the Spurs. But yeah, I mean, they have DeMar DeRozan, and DeMar DeRozan's a fantastic player, but they are.
And LaMarcus Aldridge as well. Like, you know, he's not too shabby himself either. I'm pretty sure he was an all-star last year. So, you know, it's not as if they don't have bad
Devontae
players.
Devontae Murray's playing really well too.
No, that's right. And that's the big inclusion for them this year is getting him integrated into the pop system. Yeah. And having him, you know, sort of be, I guess, that sort of new generation Tony Parker. So,
yeah,
would love to see the Spurs sort of carry it on. But, it'll be like, once again, you know, in the preseason, in our little preseason pod, coaching is going to get them through into the playoffs this year with Popovich.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, that it is. This is Greg Popovich. It's just they're just an underrated team that you never talk about, and they're probably going to plateau a little. But I think even like you were talking about the preview, I think you still put them in a sneaky eight because
they should be there or thereabouts in that bottom half, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely bottom half, but just because they'll get coached to there. That's like you were sort of saying. Right. Like they're just a team. I mean, it's only an opening week, but they haven't lost. It's just, yeah, when I looked at it, I went, okay, yeah, I guess I've never looked at the Spurs. I don't really, you know, go out of my way to look at the Spurs.
They've been like that for a couple of years now, even with Kawhi when he got hurt a couple of years ago when he only played that 9 games throughout the year. And then obviously the last 2 years that he hasn't been there, the Spurs just, they just go about their business. So, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Any other sort of games you want to touch on before looking at using that?
The one thing that I sort of have the other thing that I've taken out of that for this first week is how sort of disjointed Utah have looked. Obviously they've got all the talent in the world now, or not all the talent in the world, but you know that they've made some pretty shrewd moves over the
they have the biggest depth out of every team, I think. Massive.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. But just Mike Conley just doesn't look like he's, you know, quite fitted in there properly. Yeah. Not properly, but you know, he just looks a little out of touch bit. Like the opener against against OKC. He went 1 for 16. Against the Lakers, he went 3 for 11. Against Kings, who are looking like they could have regressed this year.
Oh, I know.
They're looking ordinary.
And we were talking.
He went 5 for 11. In the game against the Suns today, he was 0 for 7 with 1 point. So he's just, I don't know, he's just not sort of quite, getting into the groove just yet. And I guess that's, you know, the same sort of situation with a lot of teams where they've had a lot of personnel change. So it'll just take a little time for him to sort of work into, Quinn Snyder. He's the coach there in Utah just to sort of maybe not so much make him a feature, but you know, sort of run a little bit more of the offense through him and rather than Donovan Mitchell, even though Mitchell's been playing pretty good as well, and even Gobert. Like, I'm pretty sure that Utah one of the best defensive teams just in regards to sort of efficiency and points per game this year so far. So you know, that's no real surprise, but they're not quite putting up 100 points per game either. So
they've had a few injuries too. So, like, you know,
well, Bogdanović played today.
Yeah, 29 points. So he's come back like with the ball that's on timely. Fire. But they've had, like, Ed Davis hasn't been there for the first couple of games. Like, it's sort of, they haven't had that full squad that we keep talking about, that they have that depth. So, I mean, it might take some time, but I suppose it was surprising purely because there was a team that me and you were talking up at the start of the preview, but might just take time, especially, you know, if there's injuries and that I'm not really sort of sure on. But I guess with that game I did watch a bit of the highlights of that game. The Suns, they're 2-2 to start this week, but they've
started the year off with a nice little plucky attitude, haven't they?
Yeah, and except for, which we'll probably talk on news a bit soon, I mean, they have someone missing, but I'm not a big Ricky Rubio fan, but I like that Rubio's there because it's easy for Devin Booker to play off him. So
I just love his ball distribution. He's got terrific court vision. You know, you can leave Rubio as wide open for three as you want, but you know, he's got terrific court vision, and he's gonna steer that team around really well, and that should open up a lot more for Devin Booker this year.
And Aaron Baines might actually get it. Well, I guess we'll probably talk about it later, but he'll probably get a lot
more. He played great against the Clippers.
He played really well.
I thought he was solid. And against the Suns.
Yeah, he played really well against the Suns as well. So they're not shocking me. I don't think they're going to do great, but they're doing pretty good for 2-2 at the start, at least, anyway.
Wins already.
Yeah. Yeah, well, 50-50, so it helps. Well, do you want to, is there any other sort of teams you want to talk about this week before talking about the inevitable news, which is probably tied to Phoenix Sun, or at least the first thing that popped out to us?
No, I guess we can, sort of go on to a little bit of, a little bit of sort of news throughout the league. And if we want to go into the DeAndre Ayton, 25 game suspension.
Yeah. So Phoenix Suns, what was their number one pick, last year? I think
last year, first pick.
Suspended 25 games for violating the terms of the NBA, I guess, agreement that they all must sign at the start of the year. Any drug program that they all sign at the start of the year.
Any doping
stuff. Yeah. He's a diuretic, so I'm not really sure what, you know, what. Yeah, I'm
no,
not
well,
say
from what smart. I've read in what I've read into it, you know, these diuretics, they mask the actual performance enhancer. So that's why I think they've just gone pretty much straight on a league-wide ban on diuretics, because they do mask other performance enhancers. So if you're found with a diuretic in your system, then I guess the league gets a little suspicious. So I guess that's why they've sort of come down hard on DeAndre Ayton.
And I think the thing that sort of stood out to me is that they would have medical staff and all that, correct? I mean, every team.
Depends on how intense they go with it, with their eating regime that they have, and also whether they get their supplements screened or not screened, but you know what I mean, like, you know, sort of looked at, you know, I'm taking this and this and. So it's just interesting how this can sort of, not so much how this can happen. Obviously, he's probably been taking it on the sly, but
that's what I'm sort of getting at. Like, so, like they would have a, like every team, they would have a, you know, world class medical team, but for, you know, James Jones to come out and, you know, on behalf of the organization, Monty Williams, I'm disappointed by the actions of DeAndre Ayton that led to the testing positive for the banned diuretic. This does not uphold the standards and principles we set the team. But I guess what I'm getting at is, like, I don't know. I mean, obviously I don't know the ins and outs and all that, but it just seems it's too, like, surely medical staff or someone should know something about what he's doing, or at least they would have to do tests all the time. I don't know. It's just it.
Well, now that he has tested positive, I'm sure that he'll be on a rigorous testing regime after this, once he comes back from the 25 games, which is only shooting himself in the foot.
Yeah, it is, and it's shooting an organization in the foot, and they probably had no choice but to come out and say that. But I just think it's, you know, I mean, like, I suppose they can't really stand behind their player when, you know, it's already been tested positive. It's just, you know, do they talk to the medical staff? It's just, I don't know, it's too... I don't like the way that sort of those kind of things play out, especially when, you know, these are, you know, billion-dollar teams, let's say, or million-to-billion-dollar teams, you know.
Well, and I'm not sure Phoenix fits into the billion-dollar team.
Let's say million. Million-dollar teams. Yeah, probably
we'll
not billion.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
I thought you were going to say hundreds of thousands. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. But I don't know. They had no choice but to release a statement like that, but it's just sort of, I guess I find it disappointing that a team has to do that when they hire these medical staff and all that. But like you said, it could have been on the slide. It could have been a thousand other.
No doubt at all. Okay, it's probably a bit of a reckless speculation there that he's doing it on the slide. But yeah,
of course, we don't know
that's right. But unfortunately, he's been found out with it, and you know, he hasn't been found with, you know, as far as I know, he hasn't been found with a performance enhancer in his system. He's correct. Been found with that diuretic in his system. I don't know what the diuretic was, but that's the masking agent for performance enhancers. So the NBA have realized this, and they've come down hard on him.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, and that's just the. That's just part and parcel of any sport, really. This is the way it is.
It's the way it is.
Did you, with the sort of the news, what did you think of, I guess, Ja Morant's opening week? Because obviously I seen his name everywhere, I should say, in the news.
For the Memphis Grizzlies. He's looking the goods. You know, they had that buzzer beater that Jameson Crowder hit. It was two days ago, and I think that was it against, Brooklyn? I think it was against Brooklyn.
Yeah, against the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, and he had 30 points, 4 rebounds, 9 assists.
Yeah.
And he also had that that big block on Kyrie's jump shot.
Irving. Yeah, he did.
That sort of forced the game into overtime. So, you know, he's using his length to to good stead there. You know, Kyrie obviously isn't the tallest guard in the world, but yeah, he knows how to get up and over people. And it was a sort of a fadeaway jump shot as well. So he did really well to sort of get 90% of the ball and not foul him. So he's looking, you know, if you've got any money left in your sports bet account, get on him. Get on for him rookie for rookie of the year, because it's sure as hell not gonna be Zion.
Well, it's not going to be Zion, but then the other one I was going to say was, what about RJ Barrett? Because he's had a pretty good opening week as well.
I don't think he's had an impressive week as what Ja Morant has, but you know, the Knicks won today. They came back from 18 points down today against Chicago. How the hell they got down 18 points to Chicago, I'll never know. But they came all the way back, and I think they won by 6. So.
Correct.
RJ, both of those guys are going to be a fairly heavy focal point on both of those teams, respectively. So, I think to start with, Ja Morant's probably going to have a little bit more upside, because RJ Barrett doesn't look like he's much of a passer. So. He's going to be on plenty of highlight reels, but I think Ja Morant's game is a lot more well-rounded. So
I agree.
I think he's got more of a chance to. Plus, you know, RJ Barrett's only got 40 power forwards to throw to at the Knicks at the moment. So I think Memphis has probably got a little bit more spread out sort of roster.
Yeah, correct, and I guess just with RJ Barrett, it's funny that he seems to, the last sort of two games, he's the guy topping the rebound count. So I don't know, like you said, you've got 1,000 power forwards there to throw to, but also that they can rebound as well. But
Julius Randle and Bobby Portis and whichever Morris twins there, they're all decent rebounders, and even Julius Randle's is a super rebounder. So. I haven't had a look at the box score of that one today to see how the rebounding spread sort of going across there. But if he's sort of leading the team in rebounds as well.
Yeah, he is. 15. So he got 9. And he played the full 40. Played 40 minutes, 19 points, 15 rebounds, and 5 assists. So that was RJ Barrett. So, and then like Julius Randle had 14 and 13. So it wasn't sort of too bad as well. But, I think you're right. I think Ja Morant definitely has a better well-rounded game, at least looking at him at the start of the week. But
all you got to do, all teams have got to do is force RJ Barrett to go right, and I think you'll shut him down until he can develop a right-hand move. Like just watching him last year in college and the bits and pieces that I've seen him now, he's just super dominant going to the left hand. All you got to do is just force him right.
Yeah. That's actually a really good point. Any other news you sort of, I guess, found during the week?
A couple of injuries that sort of have popped up throughout the week. Like the Pistons, Blake Griffin is going to be missing two weeks, or you know, the opening sort of 2 weeks of the season. He's got knee and hamstring issues on his left side. So.
Yeah.
For the Pistons, I think they've won a couple of games already this season. So for them to be getting the job done without Balake, that's a good thing. And Derek Rose is playing.
Sorry, it was too funny. Out of show. Derek Rose is being Derek Rose. Like, yeah, he's had a really good start to the week in that team.
Yeah. And I think Drummond today had like 18 points, 18 rebounds. So, you know, that's a fairly common sort of stat line.
Underrated. I love Andre.
Oh, he's so underrated. Oh, my God.
Everybody passes him over, but he's coming up to contract as well. But man, is he underrated. He's a terrific rebounder. He gets points. Yeah, man, he's so underrated.
And his big Achilles heel, especially over the first few years of his career, was the free throw shooting. But he's actually getting better. I'm pretty sure last year he shot like 65% from the free throw line, which, you know, is a drastic improvement for what he was shooting, because he was shooting at like 40 or 42%. Yeah. For his first like four or five seasons, four seasons or so, and just over the last couple of years, he's actually started to get better, so he's not so much of a liability at the free throw line.
Yeah, correct. There's a few other injuries too, if I remember. Like, I guess, I mean, there's injuries all the time in NBA, but there's a few extensive ones.
The big one for me is the Marvin Bagley injury.
Yeah.
4 to 6 weeks with a fractured right thumb. And even before he got hurt, like, Sacramento have greatly disappointed me so far. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, will continue, especially now too, since Buddy Buckets has come out and says, I want to be paid. And he's had a couple of ordinary games. So he's going to want to put up or shut up at the moment. I think he had a pretty ordinary game today. In their loss, so he's just got to head down and just keep playing the way that he has since he's gone there from New Orleans as a rookie, and just keep getting better, because he's going to be, you know, that they're going to need him and De'Aaron Fox to really step up in the absence of Marvin Bagley.
Yeah, and like I guess we sort of talked up Sacramento at the start of the year, but I think Marvin Bagley is a big loss to them. I mean, they are a very young team, but definitely a massive loss, I think. I guess speaking of losses, but they already knew that at the start of the year. The other one was, Klay Thompson is injured for the Warriors, but you said you've heard that he might be out for a lot longer than more people expect.
Before the season started, there was the talk around that it was going to be around the All-Star break, possibly a little bit after the All-Star break to get him up and rolling. And even then, that's still only sort of nine months off the ACL tear. So it just depends on how well he's rehabbing, but I did hear just before the season got started, and it was a statement from Steve Kerr
saying there's
a real possibility that he may not return at all for this regular season, and that's gonna stunt the Golden State Warriors a lot, because they, you know, as much as I sort of harped on the Pels defense. But they've put up a couple of stinkers defensively.
Yeah.
To start, they just can't guard anybody.
So he's definitely been ruled out for All-Star break. That's completely been confirmed. It's been ruled. But like you said, with Kerr saying that he's unlikely to play this year,
that's big.
Big lot. Yeah, but I guess when I heard it, especially from you, but are they doing this because of, I guess, what happened with Kevin Durant last year in the finals, how they rushed him back and then everyone blamed the medical staff and that? I wouldn't say they're being overcautious, because I don't really know, but are they being just, I guess, protective of, we just signed this guy for so much money, we rushed Kevin Durant back and everyone blamed us.
Part of it is that he's been paid. Like, he's got his money, he's got his contract now. He's obviously a very massive integral part of their team. So if they already knew that this, not so much this season is going to be a loss, but they were definitely looking at sort of, you know, recharging the roster a little bit. And they'll obviously, it's very, very different from what it was in the past 5 years that they've been championship material. So why not just let him rest? And I guess it's sort of a different situation than what it was with Kevin Durant. Like, they knew that there was a possibility that they may not have been able to have Kevin Durant for the rest of the finals. So it's just, I think they're just being uber cautious. And
which is not a bad thing.
There's nothing wrong with that. So I think
No, I don't think so. I think you know, he is, you know, everyone raves, I mean, I guess you're a casual fan, but I'm not sure, but everyone raves about his pointing technique and his 3 points and all that. But man, is he a defensive perimeter player. He plays defensively really, really well. Really, really big fan of him defensively, you know, which I sort of take from games when you sort of, you see that off-ball stuff. Man, he's very, very good defender. He's got such a
quick release too. Like, yeah, him and Steph Curry have got two of the quickest releases on a jump shot, especially on the catch and shoot. Like, it's just, it's near impossible for you to even get a hand up anywhere near it. It's such a quick release. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. But like you said, maybe just don't rush him back. Look, if they, they've just
got to see how he feels too. Like, you know, if he feels that he's coming back from it, okay. But I think they're going to be, you know, extremely, extremely cautious when it comes to him. Even though he's not, he's explosive. But yeah, when he goes to the rack, he can be fairly explosive. But his lateral movement is what makes him a good defender as well. So they've got to make sure that he's 100% good to go.
Yeah, correct. So studs and duds of the week. And we're talking NBA related here. I mean, there's a lot of studs and duds out there in general. I could tell you 1,000 studs and duds, but we're talking NBA.
I could tell you 1,000 duds. But anyway.
I just go on Facebook and I could pick 1,000 studs and duds. Well, sorry, more duds and duds than studs. But anyway.
I thought, a couple of studs this week. I thought Karl Anthony Towns has had a, you know, a super start to the season, and Trae Young as well. Like he's been terrific to start the year. You know, he only had 25 points today, but before that he'd been averaging 38 points a game. So, you know, that was never going to keep up.
No.
But that's been a nice surprise, and Atlanta have looked okay. So, you know, hopefully they're on the, well, they should be on the improve, and that's, well, I think the Eastern Conference is going to be so wide open this year.
Yeah.
So, look for them. Cam Reddish hasn't really sort of got into the, not so much into the rotation, but into the game so much, to start with. Like he's been pretty flat.
Yeah.
That'll come.
Yeah. No, I echoing on Carl Anthony Towns. Yeah, we're only talking a week in. I know everyone harps about, like we were talking about, certain ESPN analysts that they go on about already talking about MVP candidates and all that, which is only a week.
Oh, my God.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
But
I'll just say it right now. Shut up with the MVP leading candidate. Give me a break. It's a week into the season. We just don't need to hear that. You just don't.
No. Carl Anthony Towns, he just did sign a Supermax contract of $190 million last year. So,
trying to put up their numbers.
He always does. I just, that's Carl Anthony Towns. If Wiggins keeps playing well, they'll disrupt some teams. Some teams that no one thought we'll go to Timberwolves, that'll be a W. They'll disrupt some teams. So, and like you said, Trae Young, I don't know. They've got a lot of young players there. He's still a little bit of a wait and see. I mean, he's playing very well this week, and that's why he's a stud. This week, but he's more of a wait and see for me. Cause like I said, I think they need to gel with a few more other players. So.
No, that's right. Yeah. They got DeAndre Hunter there as well. You know, they've got a super young nucleus and, you know, obviously old man Carter there as well. So, which was a bit funny too, that I think it was the game today where it come down to, I think Atlanta lost today, but when they ran the play for the buzzer beating shot, and it actually went to Vince Carter and not Trae Young. I thought that was a little bit odd, but anyway. It nearly went in. Yeah, you know, Carter got off a nice clean shot.
How many seasons is Carter up to now? He's still
like 47.
47 seasons. I was about to say he's 47 years old, but 47 seasons.
Pretty sure he was running around with Bill Russell and
just doing these like behind the back, like
busting around the 60s.
Busting around the 60s.
Feels like it. Feels like I've been watching Vince Carter my whole life.
Well, I guess we technically have. I think he'd be 20 seasons, surely.
16, I think he's 21.
Nah, that is absolutely ridiculous. 22,
something like that.
In an 82-game season. I know he won't be playing all those games, but God damn.
He wants to.
That's, he's like the Tom Brady of the buddy.
Oh,
he's the Tom Brady of the NBA. He's evergreen. Still putting up numbers.
No, yeah, still the game. The game's still there to be respected. So it's not as if he's not a contributor. So I think evergreen Vince Carter. So who would have thought, you know, somebody that started his career off, you know, as explosive as what he did would sort of evolve into the shooter and the player that he is now. It's just there.
I thought, you know, as explosive it was, the NBA, the dunk contest, everything. I thought there's no way this guy can keep doing this and not get those injuries and knees and all that. But no, he's still doing it.
Yeah, no, evolve. Yeah, that's it. You got to keep evolving with these young boys.
And your dud of the week, or the duds?
Well, I sort of found, you know, the even though James Harden's putting up just crazy numbers again, but boy, yeah, he just needs to lay off the if those threes aren't going at the moment. Like, he's going to keep putting them up, but 6 for 40 over the first, you know, 43 pointers in his first three games. Like, that's a little out of control. I think D'Antoni needs to sort of pull the reins back in a little bit, you know, on him sort of taking so many three pointers. Like I said, you know, 2 for 18 against the Pels on the weekend. Like, that's inexcusable. You just can't be taking 18 three pointers.
Yeah, no, you can't. No, well, you can, but if you've got to at least put like at least 50%.
Oh man, you got to be putting 7 or 8 of them in the frigging bucket at least, not 2.
No, not 2. My dud was, it's sort of a mix. It's about the Warriors, but it's not against the Warriors. It's against the Warriors fan base and probably the people that talk about the Warriors. Like, they just. Yeah, well, they've lost 2 games. They won the one today. It was today. I think they won today, correct? I think they won today. I think it was today. But they just, you know.
Yeah, they I said
they lose
earlier.
The first two games.
They popped the Pels in the mouth today.
They just lost the first two games, and then the whole world just went crazy and said, oh, this is the demise of the Warriors dynasty. I mean, give me a break.
Exactly. And Draymond give me Green a coming break. Out to, you know,
oh, I loved
it. The other day saying that they were playing like absolute, you know,
we effing
shite.
Suck right now.
Yeah. And
he
it's
literally
just,
said
and it's
we
just,
effing suck.
Yeah. It's just like he needs to just pump the brakes as well. It's all right. It's 2 games.
That's right.
Like,
and that's
just,
that's
just
what I mean.
Hold up.
It's a bit of media hype of the Warriors because, you know, the last 5 years they've been there. You know, it's just pump the brakes. You know, it's only 1 week. You know, give them a break. They've never played with a team like this. Like, they, you know, they've never played with D'Angelo. They haven't played without Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson for years. So, yeah, just hold up. Like, they.
The ESPN radio show that I listen to all the time, the Dan Le Batard show. They were talking about it today. Is like, is this going to be the hardest year, as you know, for the last 6 or 7 years as a Warriors fan, you know, slash supporter base, and is Steve Kerr is actually going to have to coach, and there's not going to be too many times where there's going to be Draymond Green with the, you know, with the play board drawing up plays like they had over the last, was it last year, the year before, where they were getting bored. And it's like, yeah, they've got to try and keep it interesting for themselves. You know, losing games, that's going to keep it interesting for them.
I just hope, like, those fans stay around. They're not, they probably are. There's a few bandwagon there, but
They've moved across the bay as well into San Francisco, into that new Chase Center, which they reckon is just amazing. I sort of feel for the Oakland community because they're just losing everything at the moment.
Yeah, you're right. Poor guys. Yeah, they're about.
Well, do you know
to
what I mean? And
it's
being lost to across the bay. Like it's all the NFL team. You know, the Raiders are going to Vegas, but there's even talk that the Oakland Athletics, the baseball team could leave town. So, you know, with the Warriors sort of jumping the bay, it's
In fairness to the Warriors, like, you know, you're right. I mean, in fairness to the Warriors, they called themselves the Golden State. They always had the but what I'm saying is they always had that San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge on their jersey. Yeah. So, in fairness to them,
they've always been in Oakland though. Like they've never been San Francisco.
I guess I'm saying, in fairness to them, you know, moving, it's not like they were called the Oakland Warriors or anything like that. Just saying they weren't called the Oakland Raiders, and the Oakland Raiders moved for cash. I don't blame the Warriors as such as like the Oakland Raiders, and now that I know the Oakland Athletics, because they are called Oakland.
Their base. The local government there in Oakland City itself, like the Raiders wanted a new stadium. They said no, so it's like right, cool, we're going to Vegas. Didn't look like the Oracle was an old beat down arena. It's just bizarre. It's just like, oh cool, let's just build a new arena across the bay in San Francisco, and you know, screw you guys, and we're out of here.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it's
bizarre. The Oracle doesn't look like it's an old busted ass arena. Like it's weird.
Or like you just said about the Oakland Warriors, maybe the Oakland Council aren't giving them enough money.
No, they're not. That's why the Raiders are leaving again, because they're tired of sharing their stadium with the Athletics. That it's like, we want a purpose built football stadium, and it's like, no, we're not going to give you the money for it. So they're like, righto. You know, our lease with this city, you know, and this team is over with, we're out of here. Vegas is going to build us a new stadium. We're gone.
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good point. You can't blame the organizations. Like they've only got to do
That's right. It just sucks for the Oakland public.
It sucks for the Oakland public, unfortunately. But yeah, maybe they have to talk to their council about that.
That's what it's coming down to.
I guess that'll do it for the week in the NBA. Hit the hour mark now, so that was sort of a good. I mean, there's probably 1,000 other things we can talk about, but we'll be on each and every week with the NBA podcast, along with the NFL as well, which was a another interesting NFL week, I thought.
The NFL just doesn't fail to produce. Doesn't fail to produce.
It'll be a nice sort of interesting podcast to talk about tomorrow, so look out for that one. Same as always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook and the Final Play Podcast. Thanks to all the new, let's call them subscribers out there, or the new likes that we picked up.
Get them likes up on that page.
And also Twitter at the Final Play Pod, and also SoundCloud, obviously, because that's where you can get them from.
Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you for the NFL tomorrow. And yeah, like I said, we'll be busting out these weekly, so we'll have plenty of other BS to talk about next week.
Yeah, definitely, and we will probably look at sort of doing some polls, I guess, later with sort of what people, if there's people want to hear other content and that. Obviously, we're always going to talk about sport and possibly other things, but if there's other things that people want to hear about, let us know. That'd be really good.
Let us know. We've got so many political views and environmental issues that we want to talk about. So,
no, but you know, it could just be a lot of stuff.
Just hit us up.
All right.
Jibber jabber about anything.
I'll be very specific about the poll of what we know. I'm not talking straight up politics, but have a good week, everyone.
Climate change.
No, there's no way I'm talking about that. Have a good week, everyone.
See ya.
I'm not talking.